I am going to continue on with the subject of worship. And as we continue with the subject of worship, we will dig deeper into the Word and into the presence of God. The subjects that we've been having on the tabernacle on Bible studies for the last few weeks, in particular, are all really in part parcel and preparation for worship.
Amen. Yeah.
They are shadows and types that move us into worship.
Yeah.
And as I continue along with this subject in the next few weeks or so, we will bring out some of the highlights of the articles that Grace has talked about in the tabernacle, in the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. God does not meet you in an intimate way in the outer court.
No.
Okay. God does not meet you in an intimate way in the inner court.
No.
But in the Holy of Holies is where God meets you intimately. So praise the Lord. If you want to meet with God, you have to prepare yourself to go into the Holy of Holies. You have to get yourself ready. We have to get ourselves ready as a church to enter in to the Holy of Holies. That is where the glory of God is.
Yeah.
I'll not use the word Shekinah glory. I'll just simply use the word glory.
Yeah.
There is no other glory other than the glory of God that is worthwhile speaking about.
No.
And when the glory and the presence of God comes upon a person, it will begin to transform them. It will begin to renew them.
Yeah.
And it will change them.
Amen.
I was listening on the internet, just checking where we got to. Already done two sessions on this subject and we didn't get very far with the notes. So how far we will get, we shall see. But if you will turn with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96 and verse 8. My version says, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. King James says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name.
Yeah.
Give unto the Lord the glory that is due to his name.
Amen.
Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Yeah.
Verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. If you and I want a deep, powerful, engaging relationship with God, it has to be in holiness.
Amen.
You see, if you and I, in David's, in the psalm, it says, when we're to come into the presence of the Lord, when we're to worship Him, we worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We don't worship Him just in our smart clothes. We worship Him in the beauty of holiness. So what does that mean? Obviously, David knew something of having a relationship with his heavenly Father. He was a shepherd boy, out in the fields keeping sheep, most of the time on his own. And he began to understand what it meant to worship the Lord in holiness. He knew what it was to have a relationship of holiness with his God. Holiness speaks of a unique relationship. Something that is special. Something that is very different. It is the relationship of holiness is not the same relationship that you have with each other. Holiness, a unique relationship with the Lord God. For out of our relationship comes what we are and what we do. Out of that relationship comes what we are and what we do. So if our walk becomes distant with the Lord, so does our lifestyle. You understand that? If we get distant with the Lord, so our lifestyle becomes distant. If we consider the tabernacle, just happened to have one of these that Grace printed. Well, I printed up for Grace. The tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, the holy of holies. The outer court is much further away than from the holy place. Much further away from the holy of holies. The outer court, the world's not in there. The world's outside. The outer court, the church is arriving. That's the beginning of a relationship. As the relationship deepens, we move into the holy place. Yeah. As the relationship becomes intimate and holy, we move into the holy of holies. That is where the glory of God is. In the outer court, it is just there are things going on. There are processes, there are ceremonies, there are activities that are going on. There is a form of worship. There is a form of process that leads us closer to God. And it is a process. See, God wants to meet you in the Holy of Holies. That's where He resides. You see, in the Holy of Holies, there's no other light other than the light of God.
Amen.
There's nothing in there that corrupts.
Yeah.
It is symbolic of heaven itself.
Yeah.
It is symbolic of the throne room of God. And God wants you to enter into the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
And so, if our lifestyle becomes distant, Where are we spending our time? Do we spend it just in the holy place? God wants more from you than that. Do we spend it just in the outer court? Or do we spend it outside the outer court? As you can see, we're moving away. And as you move further away, the relationship becomes more distant. The relationship becomes less powerful. The relationship becomes less connected. The further away you get from God, the bigger the interference in your life becomes. It's a little bit like when you drive in your car, and if you log on to one of the local radio stations, what's Doncaster's? Tracks, that's it. Shows how often I listen to it, obviously. But if you click on to Tracks FM in Doncaster and you begin to drive south, over a distance, the signal gets weaker and weaker. And interference begins to operate. And you're thinking, but that I'm on that frequency. I've set my radio to be connected to that frequency. But the further away that you travel from the signal, from the point, this is better, not from the signal, but from the point of origin, the more disturbing the signal becomes, the weaker it becomes, the fainter it becomes, until at some stage you lose total connection.
Yeah.
You have a memory of what has been said. You have a memory of the radio station, but you're no longer connected to it. And in the same way, if we do not spend time in prayer, in the Word, in relationship, we begin to move further and further away from God. And as we move further away from God, there begins to be outside interference. The world, your job. Things in the family that disturb you.
Yeah.
Your health.
Yeah.
Finances. Other people that come into your life. All these begin to bring interference. And the word, the signals from God, the voice of God begins to be distorted. Because there are so many outside interferences that is trying to prevent you from hearing God. And the only way that you and I can prevent this from happening is to turn around and go back towards the source, the signal, the throne room, the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And when we move back to that position, everything will be well. Because God is on the throne. He doesn't always do things the way you want Him to do it. The way I want Him to do it. He doesn't always do it that way.
No.
You see, He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. And the thing is, He knows what is happening in between. You don't. Some of you can't even remember what you're doing tomorrow. Some of you can't even remember what you did today. We had somebody tell us today that they went to work, spent some time at work, and then they clocked out half an hour early. Got on their way, got on the bus, and then suddenly realised, I should still be at work. See what I mean? I'll introduce you to the person afterwards and you can ask them for yourself. Years ago, you know, I remember once going to school, only once. I went to school and at lunchtime I used to go home and make my own lunch. And then I would go back to school after the lunch break. And well, of course, I don't know what it's like today in school, but we used to have a morning break, lunchtime, and then an afternoon break. And I remember I went to school and got there and it came to the morning break. I don't know what happened, but I took off home. I went and made my lunch. I must have been hungry or something. I don't know, but I went home. So I missed the morning lessons, basically, and sort of went back later on in the day. Thinking, oh, dear me, what did I do? You know? So sometimes we don't even know what we're doing ourselves. But God does. God always knows what's happening. Nothing takes God by surprise. You may be surprised because you've all said, well, I wouldn't have believed that could have happened, haven't you? And God's like, well, I knew it was going to happen. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows everything that is going to happen.
Yeah.
We need to press in. We need to go back to the source of the signal. We need to go back to the Holy of Holies, where in our worship, we worship Him.
Amen.
Not the world. No. We don't come to church to be entertained. This is not Sky. We come to worship the living God.
Amen.
We come to worship the Creator of the universe.
Yeah.
We come to worship the one who made you and me.
Amen.
We come to worship the one who has saved us from death, who saved us from ourselves. Are you preaching my message then, Bill? Absolutely. Saved us from death and from ourselves, because sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And the only way you can beat your enemy is to look into the face of God.
Amen.
We'll get to the notes in a bit. Look in the face of God. Don't look at the face of your enemy.
No.
When I was in engineering, as an apprentice, they taught us certain skills. I remember one day they gave us a 75 millimeter diameter piece of steel bar. And they said to us, "Hacksaw a slot, two cuts across it, certain width wide, half inch deep, and then what you are going to do is you're going to take a cold steel chisel and an hammer, and now you are going to cut a groove all the way across. You're going to remove that metal. Well, let me tell you what your first reaction is that you do when you take hold of a cold steel chisel and a hammer. Imagine that this is the chisel. You hold it like that in your hand. And in the vise is this piece of steel. And you take this hammer and you place the chisel against the piece of steel. And your eye is fixed on this end, what you are going to hit with the hammer.
Yeah.
And so you strike it like that. After a while, you find that you hit your hand. You just do not know where to put it. And the lecturer comes along and says, "No, no, no, you're doing it wrong." Obviously I am, because I've hit my hand about three times now, you know. So this is what you do. He takes hold of the chisel, places it against the steel, takes the hammer and swings it all the way back, and says, what you should do, you should look at the point of the chisel. And he's like, no. Yes, he says. And he said, you will constantly hit the end of the chisel correctly. And so he carried on doing it. And we were mesmerized. And we thought, this cannot be. So we tried it. And do you know something? It worked. It worked. I have a friend who used to be in archery. And he will tell you that you take the bow and arrow. You don't look at the tip of the arrow and think, okay.
No, you don't.
You look at the bullseye.
Yeah.
You look at the target. And you go for the target. You're not looking at the tip of the arrow.
Yeah.
Aiming for the target. We need to aim for the target. We need to focus on coming into the holy place. Into the holy of holies. We have to go through the holy place to be able to enter into the holy of holies. And I'll explain that later. We will get there, I promise you. And I mean that sincerely, in the sense that I want to see us as a church moving in to the holy of holies. It's not about you. You don't look at yourself, that's right. You look at the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. He's done it all. He's been there. He's done it. And he's bought it and paid for it for you and for me. And what we have to do is begin to say, things are fine.
Yeah. All is well.
All is well.
Yeah.
All is well. That great hymn writer wrote that great hymn, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Why is it well with your soul? Because Jesus bought and paid the price that you might have a relationship, a personal, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with his Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
So it must be well with your soul.
Amen.
Amen. It is well. God has done something special for you and for me. We have to now begin to live in that dimension.
Yeah.
We have to begin to live in a place of holiness. In a place of a relationship that is connected to God.
Amen.
All life came from God. All light comes from God. So the closer that you are to God, the more difficult it is for the devil to pick you off. The further away you move from God, the more exposed you are to the wiles of the devil. It's simple. See, God did not make this difficult for you and I as believers. He made it easy. Because he knows, well, not everybody's been to university. The fishermen hadn't been to university. They didn't have a course at university that said, this is how you fish for fish. They were simple men. But you know, when they got close to Jesus and they got close to their Heavenly Father, they knew the power and the presence and the holiness of God. Remember when the disciples went with Jesus to pray up the mountain? Peter and Moses and Elijah appeared and said, "Oh, let's build something. Let's build 2-3 tabernacles, you know." Because the glory of God had appeared on that place. What God wants is not us to build a building for the glory to reside in. He's done that. Yeah. He's been there.
Yeah.
He's done it.
Yeah.
That was the old tabernacle.
Yeah.
But now it's a new tabernacle.
Yeah.
He wants the glory to be in you and me. That glory will come as we begin to worship, because we can only enter into the presence of God, we can only receive the glory of God as we begin to worship God.
Yeah.
See, the Lord, glory will do one or two things. It will either make us or destroy us.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Psalm 95. See, David knew so much about the presence of God. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Amen.
This is God. This is David moving towards God. This is David in worship of God. This is David exalting the Lord God Almighty. We worship God in obedience to him.
Amen.
Don't worship God with your mouth. You worship God with your spirit, soul and body. It's obedience to God.
Yeah.
It's easy to say something, but it takes more to do it.
Yeah.
It's easy to speak it. I hear it all the time. I'll see you at church. Church comes and goes. Didn't see them. You speak to somebody on the streets and you say to them, "Shall I see you at church next week?" "Oh yeah, I'll be there." No, they're not empty words, they're lies. These are Christians that lie to you. Do you know, the Bible says there is not a place in heaven for liars. Is that what he says, right? You know. So what does that mean? Someone of us is not going to get in. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. That's right. Few are chosen. You see, this hasn't just happened once or twice. This happens regularly to me. If you're not careful, one can become quite cynical. In fact, one actually is getting to a point where one may one day say to somebody, "Well, you've told me that for the last how many ever times. Would you stop lying to me and say you're not coming? At least I know where I stand. At least you don't give me false hope that you may be there." Oh, and by the way, God is in on every conversation. Is he not? You know, he is the whisper. He says, actually, he even knows your very thoughts. So when you say, I'll see you on Wednesday, he knows that your thoughts are, I've said it, but I'm not going. But it gets me out of being asked, why aren't you coming? Or I'll see you on Sunday. I mean, I know when people say, oh yeah, I'll see you on Sunday. And I know full well they're lying to me. I've just been very gracious at this point not to say, I know you're lying. Sometimes God shows you that somebody's absolutely just telling them. See, they don't lie to me. They lie to God. It's as simple as that. They're lying to God. You see, why do I say that? Because in you is Christ, and Christ is in me. So we should speak the truth in love to one another, and love one another. But don't lie to one another. That prevents us moving into the Holy of Holies. See, God wants you and I to be spotless and sinless. And if we're not, we'll not move into the Holy of Holies. We'll not move into that holy place. Because we know in the Old Testament, nothing that is unclean could move into the glory of God. Everything that is unclean cannot enter the presence of God. It will be burnt up. It will be destroyed. Hallelujah. God will not accept anything that is unclean. They were told when they brought an animal sacrifice, that animal had to be looked at and inspected for 7 days. And every day it was checked and checked and checked and double checked. To make sure there was nothing wrong with that animal. God will not accept imperfect gifts of sacrifice. And so coming to you and to me, he looks at us and he's inspecting us. That we might be perfect gifts in his very presence. Psalm 99. And verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God. And worship at his footstool. For holy is he. Worship at his footstool. That means coming into his very presence. There's a verse of scripture says that the earth is his footstool. The earth is God's footstool. And we're in a good place when we bow before him and begin to worship at his footstool. See, God wants you to come into his presence, and he wants you to touch God. He wants you to reach him. Reach out and touch God. That's what he wants for us. God wants to take hold of your hand. And he wants to say, you are my child, Mary. You're my daughter. And I have good things for you. He's going to pour his spirit through you. Change lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This is our God. He's not a father that wants to beat us. He's a loving God that wants to embrace us in worship, in holiness, in purity. Everything about God is about love. 2 years ago, I preached for weeks on the subject, God is love. God is love. The very essence, the very flavor, the very being of God is love, love, love. It's like those spices you use when you cook to flavor the meat. You put that meat and the spices together and you marinate them and they spend time together. And then when you take that meat and you cook it and then you taste it, oh, it's not just on the outside. It goes all the way through, doesn't it? It's not like when you have Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, the flavour's in the skin. On the outside. When you get through to the middle, it's flavourless chicken. It's, you know, it's the cheap stuff. It's filled with water. But you see, when you marinate something in the herbs and spices, and it spends time in that mixture, it spends time there, and suddenly it takes on everything of those spices and those flavors. And so when you cook it, no matter where you chop it, it tastes all the way through. And that is the experience that God wants. You see, God is love. No matter where you meet God, you will always taste love. Oh, what a flavor. The love of God. The love of God that passes all understanding. There's not a flavor like it. There's nothing to be savored like it. Even the best cook in the world can't bring that out. The love of God. God wants you to be drawn into that relationship with Him. He wants you to understand it. Turn with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel and chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 21. John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 21. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But Jesus says, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father. When the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Verse 23, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Truth. Truth is important to God. Truth is important in the church. Today, sadly, it seems to be lacking. Lacking in ministries, ministers, in the body itself. We need to realize God seeks truth in the inward parts. You see, God is truth. And when we worship Him, we need to worship Him for who He is and for what He is. And so we have to be in truth and truthful to God. God has given you a belt of truth. A breastplate of righteousness. the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace, not war, not hatred. So God has given us all these things. He's equipped us and enabled us to become true worshippers. All these things are given to us that actually we might worship God. Our very calling is to worship God. That's what you're called for. You're called to worship God. And that then, it will expand from there. But you see, if we don't have the ability to worship God, then we will not receive the fullness of God in our lives. And our Christianity will become lukewarm. In some cases, even cold. Dead. The further away we get from God, the colder our Christianity, the colder our faith becomes, the less we trust and believe God, the less we will know the presence and the power of God. And the more then we become reliant upon the world. There was an old song in my day that was made famous by a man called Jim Reeves. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Heaven's my home. I'm passing through. It's like we said the other day. You know, there's the valley of weeping. Baca. Don't stay there. Don't live there. Pass through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Heaven is my home. Glory to God. And so you and I need to learn to worship God. We need to learn to come to Him. And we need to begin to open ourselves and our hearts unto God. We need to begin to expose our heart to God and to begin to allow Him to just come in and touch, to minister, to heal, and to set us free. And allow God to move in power in our lives. And as we do that, we will see the glory of God, first of all, coming into our life. You see, God wants you to know the glory of God in your life. God wants you to experience His glory. Because when we get to heaven, we shall see and know the glory of God. But heaven is not trying to keep it to itself. God is not trying to keep Himself to Himself. God wants you in that relationship, God wants you so that you actually, like that meat, you become that sweet smelling savour and taste. Do you know why? Because you have been absorbed into God. That meat absorbs the spices into itself. And you and I are being absorbed into God. And as we're absorbed into God, our lifestyle changes. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You don't taste like that old piece of ropey meat anymore.
No.
You taste of something good and new. What have you done to this meat? It's different. God, what have you done to these people? They're different. Why are they different? Because they've been absorbed. They've been absorbing the kingdom of God. They've been absorbing God. They're beginning to look like they're beginning to sound like, they're beginning to act like Jesus. It is a process that we go through. You see, when we walk into a place when the presence of God is on us, people will see it. But it only comes as we spend time in the very presence of our living God, when we allow God to be there in our lives. It changes. You see, yeah, I mean, marinating, not just flavours, but it tenderises the meat. You see, it renews everything. And so when we move into the presence of God and allow God to come upon us and to enter into us, there's a process of change. There's a process of change. And the reason God saved you was to change you. To make you in His very image. So that when you look at somebody, you see God. You see an image of God. Amen? You see an image of God. You see the beauty of holiness to be seen in the people of God. When the beauty of holiness is seen in the people of God, the presence of God will be there. And so I'm still believing this, that signs, wonders, and miracles will be seen. Blind eyes opened, deaf ears unstopped, limbs replaced or placed on people. I serve and worship a God who is the only creator of all things. And everything that you see and everything that you have came from God. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a mystery. You are a mystery on its own. Each and every one of you is a mystery. Your bodies is a mystery. How many times have you been to the doctors and it's like, well, I'm not sure. We'll have to try this. You're a mystery. And they've been practicing now for 6,000 years to try and fix it. They've been trying for 6,000 years to actually help us live longer. They've been trying to, really in one sense, they want us to live forever. But guess what? I'm already going to live forever. I'm already going to live forever because of God in me. They talk about wanting eternal life, but they want it without God. Well, we say it's not possible, but there is eternal life. But it's not called eternal life, it's called eternal damnation. You see, what we get wrong is we tell people that you're going to die and you'll be dead forever. Well, you won't actually. You'll die physically, but the soul can never die. It will be tormented in eternity, imprisoned in torment. Whereas those that know Christ, their soul will be eternally in the presence of God. Hallelujah. In His glory. In His presence. Worshipping. And the angels shall sing with us a new song. They'll rejoice. I was going to read in Revelation, and I will do next week, where the 24 elders bow down and say, and worship, and say, "Holy, holy, holy, hallelujah." You know, that's where we're at. This is what God wants. He wants you to be in the holy place, where it is holy, Holy, holy. And the angels sing a new song. And the angels cry out, holy is He. Hallelujah. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship. He's not a God that beats us up. He's a God of love.
Amen.
And we need to realize that and realize that He wants us to run to Him. He wants us to spend time with Him, with each other, so that we might build the kingdom of God. This world outside is dying from sin, sickness and disease, from alcohol and drug abuse. And yet there's an answer. And the answer is Jesus. There's an answer that has come 2,000 years ago. And yet we still reject it. We still turn Him away. We still say we can do it ourselves. Well, nobody's managed it over the last 2,000 years. In fact, nobody's managed it over the last 6,000 years save Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot manage without God. There are plenty of people trying to manage without God. There are plenty of people saying they're doing it. And they'll turn around and say to you, well, when you're dead, you're dead. Hate to disappoint you. You're not. Just a different state. Your soul will be imprisoned in eternal damnation. But he that knows Jesus and has accepted Him and made Him Lord of his life shall know the eternal presence of God and shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The Lord bless you.